It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome to The Car Doctor Show. This is The Car Doctor, Kevin Raywinkle, along with Tom Claxton. You have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. Brought to you by UJ Chevrolet, Mobile's oldest GM dealer, Alabama Pipe and Supply, and Ed Seafood Shed.
And Fantabulous Seafood Shed.
Yep.
Yes. Man, I had to reach down and grab that one and pull it out.
Yep.
Fantabulous. Yeah. Yeah. But they're rocking and knocking. It's over there the other day. They've got that out. The lower deck on the right side now is covered.
Oh, yeah.
So all the lower decks are covered all the way around. So that's cool, man. You know, so many more places for people to go ahead and be able to sit around and partake of the adult beverages and fine grocers, food, grocers, I call them.
Yeah.
But the dinners there and our breakfasts as well now, because they are serving breakfast as of like 8:30 in the morning, so every day of the week. So awesome place, Ed's Fantabulous Seafood Shed.
Always good food, no doubt.
Always good food. They put good food in their food.
Yeah, yeah. Put real food in it.
Yeah, real food in their food, yeah.
Real food in it, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Nothing wrong with that.
Oh, yes.
Nothing wrong with that.
Well, hey, man, look, we just got tore up over there at Gulf Shores and all with all this all this damn hail.
Yeah.
You know? What? And I've heard today they're talking about a bunch of those cars can't be repaired. They're going to be totaled.
Well, I mean, from what I saw, I tell you what, we had a couple show up at the shop today, and you know, one of them walked around looking just curious. Of course, you know, we're not talking about your average little hail.
Oh, little
dings.
Hail dings, little you know, little dime size, no, marble size dings.
You know, the I'm talking about baseball size dents and spots in this car that. You know, it's going to need a roof, the whole right side of the car, the deck lid, the hood, the windshield.
Oh, okay. Yeah. The panels are damaged so severely, they cannot be repaired.
Right. I mean, I just don't see, you know, I don't really see fixing them, you know, to be honest with you.
So, in other words, they'd have to have a new roof, a new hood, and a new deck lid.
Uh-huh.
And I would guess on some of the side panels or sides of the car where the contour of the car turns there,
right.
Going down into the, you know, you've got some of your fenders still exposed straight up, and then it rolls over and then goes down to the side of the vehicle for a fender area or skirt or what have you. So,
right.
So I mean, you could feasibly have to replace. You could have to replace all the skin on a car.
Right. You know, unless if the car's worth. You know, I don't know where the break point would be, depending on which car we're talking about. But if your car is worth $20,000, it may not be able to be fixable.
Yeah. Right.
Because you're talking about a pretty substantial bill to fix something like that.
Yeah, you're talking about over 15, 18 grand probably to do all that.
I mean,
it's so labor intensive, but the only other thing is the parts.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's the big thing. You got parts and, you know, even I don't know. I mean, we had had one come in also that was struck by lightning. You know, all that lightning we got come through. You know,
we had a gazillion strikes, man. It was it looked the white spots. It was all over it. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, it was bad for sure. But you know, we were. I was looking at the one today, and you know, of course, it's probably going to total because an initial estimate's probably somewhere in the $6,000 to $7,000 range, you know, to fix the modules that I know for a fact are going to be bad, and that's not even getting into the rest of the stuff on it.
So, what are we looking at? A $10,000 car, $12,000 or something?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably not worth that.
Oh,
you
really?
Know, it's probably a $6,000 to $7,000 truck. So,
we're,
you know, it's not a new truck. I mean, it's 11-year-old truck. So, you know, it just makes it hard. I mean, I hate it for the people. You know, it's a company truck, and now they're going to be stuck having to buy a new vehicle here shortly. So it may not be.
Well, yeah, you got a $6,000 truck, insurance, that's all it's going to pay, $6,000, whatever the blue book is on it.
You know, and right now is not the best time to have to go out and buy a vehicle.
Well, yeah, a lot of this equipment, especially the specialty equipment, is going to be hard to get on the ground.
Yeah, it's of course everybody's in short demand on vehicles right now. You know, we got a bunch of them in process, but they don't have all the pieces to finish them, so they can't send them to us until they're done. You know,
well, it goes back to that microchip deal that we've been talking about over the last pandemic months.
The
fact that they've got the ECM computers that would probably crank the vehicle. Mm-hmm. But nothing else on the vehicle is going to work as far as, I guess, security and all your accessories and radio and probably air conditioning and all the other items.
Right. I've heard they're going to be building some vehicles that, like a lower level vehicle, kind of, some of the ones that don't have all the bells and whistles, maybe easier to get than some of the more decked out ones, because these chips are needed in certain modules. Part of it's stability stuff even like the displacement on demand. I've heard that maybe they're going to build some that don't have displacement on demand.
What does that mean?
Well, when it starts dropping cylinders, for fuel economy and emissions and that. But
it's messing up when it does that. That's all. Just get it to the shop.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of that system anyway. Yeah, so those may be some desirable trucks to have, actually. But they're planning on.
So that's
some of those
if that's coming down the pike, Kevin, that's an indication that our chip problem is not something that's going to clear up in 30 or 60 days or 90 days. But, the article that I read on it was they're talking about not clearing up till the end of 22.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be the last quarter at least, if not next year.
Yeah.
But we do have a caller online. Caller, you with us?
Yep. Yep, you got me?
Yeah, I got you. What's going on?
Yeah, I got a problem with my truck. It's a 04 GMC 2500 HD with a 6.0 gas engine.
Right.
And my problem is that at idle, it's got a miss. But only at idle. The truck runs great any other time, but when it's sitting at idle, when you start it up and when it's cold, it'll start, the tack will be like 1,000.
Right.
And it won't miss. But then when it warms up and drops back down, when it hits about 700, where it normally idles at, it starts missing.
Right.
And it tripped the check engine light for about a couple minutes one time, so I took it to the GM dealership over here in Foley.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time I got there, the check engine light had gone off. So he pulled the codes on it and said he couldn't find anything, so there was nothing he could do.
Right.
So he sent me home, and he said, next time it trips the engine code, bring it back in. Well, that was about a month ago, and it's tripped it twice, but it only stays on for about 3 or 4 minutes, and as soon as I start heading to the dealership, it clears up again.
Right. Yeah,
And apparently it's not storing anything when it brings that light up on the dash. There's no codes. When he read it, he said he saw nothing in it.
Well, if it turned light on, it should have had a code. Now, it may not have it may not have given a specific cylinder code. It may have been a random misfire code.
He said he saw nothing.
Yeah, I find that a little hard to believe. If you got it there within a day or so of the light being on, it should have still had a code in it. Now, like I say, if it's a random misfire code, it should still have misfire history in the system saying which cylinder was missing. And now it may be where it's showing not one specific cylinder. It may be a random deal and hitting on all cylinders.
Will it bounce around like that?
It can, depending on what's wrong with it. But kind of what you're telling me, from what I'm hearing, is more than likely you're going to have something along the lines of a valve that's not sealing properly. And when you get down to low idle, it's enough of a difference in compression between that cylinder and the others that it's going to let it pick up a misfire. Now, some of those old 6.0s, some of the earlier ones like that, They did have some intake gasket issues as well, where it would actually suck a little air into one cylinder. But you should also have a little bit of a lean condition, maybe not enough to turn a light on, but there should be enough evidence there to find it, I would think.
You know, I guess that's really the nature of my call. At the dealership, this is GM dealership now.
Right.
I'm not going to call their name, but you know which one's in Foley.
Yeah.
And he acted like there was nothing he could do. I said, well, can't you just take it in and do something with it? He said, without any codes in there, they wouldn't even know where to start.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I would think they'd be able to get something. But we have run up against a hard break here. I do appreciate you calling in. And I'll cover a little more after we come back. But I do appreciate
you
calling in.
Thank you.
Thanks. I was grown, why my daddy didn't spend a little time at home. I said he'd run around the country that away. Whoa, I'm looking at the world through a windshield, and I see everything in a little bit different light. I got a sweet little thing I'm wanting to see in Nashville, and I'm down around Dallas and roll on south tonight.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in. He's found
it down. And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. We were talking to a caller just a while ago about misfire concern on his truck, and
Let me ask you this question, okay. So you don't, because I don't work anywhere. If that thing set a code, in other words, if it turned that light on,
right,
and it was strong enough to turn the light on, there's a damn code in that computer. Am I right or not?
I would think so. You know, and.
I'm not trying to badmouth anybody, but
yeah.
Here's my thoughts on that. Then you don't have to say anything either, because you still work for a living. I mean, at my age, life sentence don't mean crap to me. Okay, so
the government ain't gonna take their money back.
Anybody can fire my ass. What the hell, you know?
And if they take that $2 they send you, who cares, right?
I think what we're going to run into now, and if I'm wrong, if I'm really out in the ballpark, you tell me. I think what I'm seeing and hearing is that we had trouble getting our cars in, okay? We couldn't get new cars in, get new vehicles in.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody's buying up all the used cars. Well, a lot of the good used cars are gone. There's still a bunch of them out there. But what has happened, it has loaded up our service departments at our dealerships to such an extent that some occasions for some companies – they're not going to take the time to chase a bug that's not literally staring them in the face.
Yeah.
Am I in left field or not?
I mean, I guess it can happen. You know, now, if we get some oddball vehicle that we don't see.
I know you and I know your company. Yeah. I know your boss. You know what boss is. They don't do business like that.
Right. I mean, if it's a bus or something extremely heavy that we don't have the equipment to pick up and safely work on, we'll turn around. I mean, we're not shy to send it down the road and let someone else make that money. Nothing against those vehicles, it's just we don't have the equipment to work on them.
We're not set up for that type of vehicles as such, but we're talking about
a Chevrolet truck for a GM dealer, And, our systems are actually, pretty good about storing misfire data. I've seen some of the Fords that they were a nightmare to try and find misfires because once it went back to hitting on the cylinder, it may not store that information. Or if you go drive it, it really don't store it. You got to catch it while it's doing it, And I've seen that. So I could go along with them.
But. So, in other words, it's not 100% that it stored a code.
No, but I mean, I feel like it's probably stored.
I would think so. Yeah.
If nothing else, and don't ever let anyone clear any data or any codes, but it wouldn't hurt to run by one of your little box store parts places that always want to check codes and sell you a bunch of parts. You can let them read it right. And just see what they say.
Let them get the code, you know.
But don't let them clear the code.
Right. Don't let them clear the code, and you don't have to buy no parts. Just tell them.
Right.
I think I got a problem. I'm about checking my codes in my computer and see what's going on here.
Right. Okay. Right. So, you know, at least you can say.
That. Get on the internet. Mm-hmm. And they've got some little code checkers in there that are on sale for like $29. Mm-hmm. But the idea is that all that does is gets a reading and it kicks it over to a program in your cell phone or your computer. Now, can you diagnose everything's wrong with your vehicle with that? Hell no. You can get an idea about where you might possibly have a problem. Am I on the right page?
Well, and where you get the information you can get out of those, a lot of times, to me, the benefit is, okay, well, I know these were the codes that were in it when I took it in, and if a week later the light comes back on, oh, it's something else, and it look at it, and it's like, well, it's the same code.
Same code? Hello?
Why? You know,
okay.
Why is that something else? Yeah. So,
thank you.
Yeah, but
thank you, brother doctor.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, but anyway, it's – we do the same thing. We have – every time we ride a vehicle up, we have a reader that we put in the vehicle that gives us a lot of other things. But one of the things it does do is it gives you the codes that are in it.
Right.
So we have a document of what codes were in it when it got there.
When it got to you.
Right.
Right. So, and then if it comes back and you see the same things, you know.
Right.
The guy's complaining. You go, well, oh, okay, this is what it had when it came in here 3 months ago, and now we just got it in here now.
Well, yeah.
You know, you got a comparison.
And on the flip side is like, you know, we ride it up, we change oil or rotate the tires, and someone comes back and says, hey, I got my check engine light on. What'd y'all do to my car? It wasn't on before.
Right.
It's like, yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Here, it's in writing right there where, it had a check engine light on for this.
Wait a minute. You check the codes if you do that? If you do your oil change and all?
Well, I mean, anytime you ride a car, I don't care if you come in for an air filter, it reads the codes off the car.
Huh?
You know, before you ever write the ticket on it.
So, in other words, you go out and check that on the car before you write the ticket.
The first thing they do when they walk up to talk to the customer at the car is they're plugging their code reader in.
So, in other words, if I go out there and say, well, my car was running perfect when I come in here to get my oil changed, and now that I've left, it's doing this. You say, well, when it got in here, it had code so-and-so. And we brought it to your attention at that time, and you said, don't worry about it, it's running okay. But now you complain about it. Come on.
Right. Right.
All right. You know,
it's a benefit for the customer.
I've been out of business. I closed my shop in 2002.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm about 20 years out of the actual hands-on physical business. So a lot of the things that were occurring to us during the 30 years of whatever that I was in business prior to that are still, an active thing. But you guys in the industry and what y'all are having to do and what you're confronted with has changed so much. And that's the reason, even myself, I learned so dang much just being on this show once a week,
Yeah.
Like updating my category. When I had to get that right hard drive out and get it in my computer, off one of those back shelves I got up in there.
Right. Well, I guarantee you this is not a new thing, because I guarantee you back in the late 1800s, somebody took their horse in to get washed and it came out with a limp, that wasn't there before.
Oh, yeah. Okay?
So
yeah.
This is not a new thing.
Yeah, the hoof is cracked.
Right. Yeah. So, it's, trust me, it's happening.
Some of his tail.
We don't. We
the
don't,
hairs yeah. on his tail and his mane right. have been clipped. Who
right.
did that?
Yeah. So. Not a common problem. I mean, not a constant thing, but I've seen it happen over
all right,
the years.
I've been causing y'all to jump all around over all kind of BS here. But give me a scenario. I bring my car out to have, which I need to do it too, this week, to get my oil changed.
Mm-hmm.
Then y'all going to tell me what you're going to do. I go in and see the service rider, and I'm going to get an oil change and filter change, whatever.
Right. Well, you're going to drive up, stay with your car. Advisor's going to come out, and they'll ask you, what you need, what you're there for today. And one of the things they do is they put the scanner in, which gives them, especially on a GM, you drive one of them off-brand cars, Ford. But
found over the road dead.
Yeah. Especially
on race day sometimes.
Right. And it'll do it for the Fords too. But on our GM products, we're tied in with the manufacturer, so it gives us any kind of recalls or service history and all that. It gives us the oil life. The there's
so you actually
to
build
tire pressures.
You have you add to if that vehicle's been in there before, then you're building a history.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
And if it's anything that's changed since it was in there previously, there are the 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 10, 15,000 miles oil change.
Right, right.
This day and time, you never know what people are going to do.
Right.
But then you're building a history there. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, it, literally, though, you could ask that service writer, well, do you see anything there obvious from when it was in here before that we need to consider?
Yeah.
Or
yeah,
if
absolutely.
She sees it or they see it, they're probably going to tell you anyway, right?
Right, right. I mean, my guys are pretty good about, I mean, I'm not going to say
sharp.
We don't miss something.
They're
but,
sharp, yeah.
But, you know, they're pretty good about looking the vehicle over. That's one of the things we, you know, get them to do is, you know, look the car over.
Hey,
make
they
sure.
do it every day, you know?
Well,
it's like if you make a loaf of bread every day,
and people,
you know how to make that stuff.
Yeah, and people look at you like you're all you're doing is trying to sell me something. Well,
no,
you know,
well.
How are you going to feel if you come in and you drive out of there and 2 days later your brakes are grinding and
right.
you got to turn around and come back or
right.
they failed because of something like that, you know, and because we didn't look at them.
Right,
you
okay.
know? You know, it's not a quality service if we don't look it over and tell you what's coming up. Yeah, so.
All right, now, that opened a big can of worms. Okay, we got a minute before hard break.
Yeah.
If we go to one of these quickie oil change places, mm-hmm. and they can't, you know, most of them are not going to do brakes, and they're not going to do, you know, alignments, or they're not going to do a lot of stuff. And they're probably not going to advise you on the amount of codes or what codes is in there if they read them.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, if you're going to stay in your car and they're going to change your oil in, you know, in 10 minutes, and they, you know, they hand you a cup of coffee through the window and boom, boom, you're out of there.
Yeah.
They're not checking all that stuff you guys are checking.
No, and you know, honestly, we had a customer come in a while back that said, man, I don't know why anybody bring a car to a dealership to get their oil changed. Man, I can go down here, down the road and get my oil changed for, I don't remember what the number was. It was $89.95. And, you know, get my oil changed full synthetic and get done, get it out of there. Said, really? Okay, no problem. Continue right, dig it up. And, you know, our oil change is $84.95 or whatever,
right, right.
and that includes a tire rotation,
yeah.
which they don't do on your other one.
Oh,
so,
hell no.
You know,
they rotate my tires while I'm in my car.
Most of the quick service places that, you know, like Take 5 and all these other places,
yeah.
they don't even jack your car up, so they're not checking everything, and they're definitely not rotating tires.
No,
so.
No.
But anyway, I'll get off that high horse. But it's time for us to take a break and we'll let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
Covered a lot of territory.
About to pick up man. When I turned 16, I saved a few $100. My first car was a pickup truck. I was cruising the town, and the first girl I see was Bobby Joe Gentry, the homecoming queen. She flagged me down and climbed up in the cab and said, I never knew you were a pickup man. You can set my truck on fire and roll it down.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
Well, you heard the story of the hot rod race that fatal day when the Ford and the Mercury went out to play. Well, this is the inside story.
Yeah, welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle. I'm Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. We talking about oil changes and that just a while ago, and that kind of runs in with one of our text messages here. Doesn't synthetic oil require a change of oil filter design, or is it just a marketing I read from Purolator? I won't say it's a marketing from Purolator.
Right.
Yeah, so, they're and I'm not going to say an oil filter is an oil filter because there are differences.
Oh, no.
Okay.
No.
A quality
I've been
oil
in the
filter
plant.
Is a
I've
quality
I've been in
oil
the
filter.
Wicks plant in Gastonia, North Carolina.
Yeah.
Back in the day, and they were making 22 different brands off the same assembly line.
Yeah.
But now they had different specifications, you know, for each one of them.
Right. I mean, you're building what somebody's asked you to build.
Right. But as an independent that has studied synthetic oils a lot, you don't want to buy the really, mm-hmm. really small diameter oil filters that they recommend because they will clog up quicker.
right,
and bypass. Right. And if you go to change your oil every 3,000 miles, like Kevin recommends,
yep,
then you can run any kind of filter you want to run.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to run your oil 5, 6, 7, 8, 10,000 miles, mm-hmm, you need to stay away from those filters that's got the really, really small diameter holes,
right,
in them. What size are those? I've lost my head on it.
Yeah, and I don't remember the
but
size.
It, yeah, but anyway. You
know,
and
that's one of the things we used to do when I was doing now I've lost my train of thought where we were doing a.
I screwed you up, didn't I? I'm good at that.
like an open house, you know, at the dealership, and helping explain car owners.
Right, you did that. Yeah, I remember you having those classes.
And one of the things I did is I cut open, I don't know, half a dozen different kind of oil filters, and just showed the difference of how they're made. And you know, GM has had for years, and then all the manufacturers, from what I understand, if you buy a cheap filter and put it in there, there's bulletins out to where it's pulled the center out of the filter and sucked it up in the motor.
Right.
And guess what happens when that kills the motor? It's voided.
No warranty.
It's voided to warranty at that point. So. Don't run a cheap filter. Run
If you're still working on the GM warranty, and you've got that whatever, how many thousand miles it did, Kevin, you can enlighten us on that.
Yeah.
But you need to stay within their warranty parameters, because if you screw that thing up, they're damn sure not going to accept your warranty.
Right. Well, I mean, and we were talking earlier about the price of the oil changes and that. I mean, it's not more expensive to go to
dealership
and get
yeah,
it changed.
Yeah, I'm living proof of that.
Yeah, you're running the oil that's supposed to be in the car. You run the filter that's supposed to be on the car. There's records at the dealership where you're going to have to go get it warrantied. You know that you got it changed. You know it's all right there, so there's no questions when it comes time to have something done.
Let me give you an example. Old TC here, so, oh, man, you know, I'm a car dud. I can save me some money.
Mm-hmm.
So I go to, and I buy me, like 6 quarts of, because my car takes 6 quarts.
Mm-hmm.
I'll send that a call, and I'm about $9, $10 a darn quart, I say, ooh, all right. So then I go buy one of these fancy hot dog oil changing places. I say, well, you going to charge me to change my oil and filter? $25.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, well, okay, I'm here. Do it.
Right.
So, that's $60. That's $85. Right, okay? And so I'm standing there, and they're already putting an eyeball on me because I'm getting around under their, I'm looking under my hood, and I'm looking to see what they're doing. And they never checked a damn thing. They never checked the water. They never checked the
windshield. They pulled the plug and the filter, and they
that's it,
hopefully,
baby.
Hopefully they put the plug back in. The
I hope they did,
tight.
Yeah. But, they never checked the fluid in my windshield washers. I'm going like, what do y'all do when y'all charge what do you get $25 for? Well, change oil. I said, well, you don't check anything else? No, we just change oil.
Yeah.
I said, so if I came in here and I bought your oil and bought your oil change, what would y'all check? Well, we'd check this and we'd check that and we'd check this. I said, well, y'all just taught me a lesson. I don't ever need to darken your door again.
Right. Right.
And, and I'm sitting on the floor and rotate tires? Hell no.
Right.
No, they didn't even have a lug wrench in there. they change oil, man.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
That's all they do, change oil.
Yep.
They don't do a good job of that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I tell you, I just don't understand why anybody would want to change their own. Some people just like doing it. I mean, more power to you. But then you're going to spend almost as much because you're buying the materials. And then you got old oil to deal with and an old oil filter to deal with. So it's just not worth it, It really isn't, and we just put our race motor back together for a race car, put it back in, and I had bought 2 5-quart jugs of 2050 Valvoline VR1 that what I run in my race motor.
That's good.
In my built motor, and it was still low, so I went and bought 2 quarts of the same stuff. And those 2 quarts cost me right at $19.
Ooh.
And this is not synthetic oil. This is conventional
oil.
So
Kevin,
it's like, come on now.
What? Regular motor oil?
Yeah.
I remember when I sold it for $1.25 a quart.
Right, right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it's...
Well, that tells how old I am. Okay.
Yeah. Of course, I should have, because I was buying the 5-quart jug for like $26. So I should have went ahead and just bought another.
Yeah, you bought that. You'd have had two quarts free.
Right. So anyway, that was my mistake. I should have read the price tag a little closer before I went to the register. But I just paid the bill and went on. But
well, you know, another factor to that that we've overlooked but we've kind of highlighted it in some other areas is I know what you pay your oil change people. And I know that on a lot of occasions, some of the techs do the oil changes that are not busy or are waiting for a car to get to their stall. They'll grab an oil change and do it.
Right.
And I mean, here's a high dollar technician that's crawling up under your car and looking around, and he's up under your hood and changing the oil and all out.
Right.
And he's rotating the tires, so he's just naturally going to look at the brakes. You know, if he's going to see if the rotors are bad or, you know, or whatever.
Right.
I want that service.
Right.
I want that service because I'm not going to get it any other way. We don't have service stations anymore.
Well, I was talking to somebody the other day, and we were just talking about, they were talking about, well, my car has never used a drop oil. It was like,
what?
When's the last time you opened the hood and pulled a dipstick on it?
Never. They ain't going to, no.
And they admitted, well, you know, I all never right. have, but they never told me it was they low never. When they changed oil.
Oh,
you
know? Well, they don't. So, they and don't even check the damn oil.
Right.
Know?
You know, it's like, just, you know, I'd be willing to bet you use some, you know.
I'm going to check mine once a week anyway.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, we have customers come in from time to time. They get one that gets miles on it, and they'll start using a little bit too much oil. You know, it may use too much if you go to 5,000 miles, but if you change every three, it may use a quart and a half.
Kevin, they're going to use a little oil now.
They generally use a little bit, because they're lubricating valve stems and piston rings and cylinder walls and all this kind of stuff. They're using low tension rings and
the tolerances are so much tighter now.
Mm-hmm.
They're running when we used to. If we had 15-20 pounds of oil pressure, man, we had a good motor, you know.
Right.
But you can run oil pressure at 40-50 pounds in a lot of these vehicles now. And the reason is because the tolerance is so tight. They need that fresh oil flushed into that system and through all of those wearing components. So you're gonna lose a little oil.
Yeah. Well, you know, and they're also using oil pressure to do a lot more stuff.
Oh, hell yeah.
You know, because we're doing variable cam time and displacement on the motors, which is, you know, pumping oil to different things to turn off lifters.
And
we're doing variable lift on rocker arms, so we're having to use oil pressure to do that.
Well, they're doing 15 or 20 more things than what we did 20 years ago.
Yeah.
The oil pressure is.
And that chain that used to wrap around the crankshaft and the camshaft that, you know, stretched about a foot on a good day.
Right, yeah.
You know, we got some timing chains that they'll stretch out 6 foot just about, you know. So it's, you know, they're going around a lot more stuff. You know?
Right, but they're having to be lubricated and on one hand. And on the other hand, the tightness of the tension on all of those chains and are the belts.
Controlled by oil
and oil pressure to these tensioners and to these units to tighten those belts and tighten those chains.
Exactly. So I mean, it's keep clean oil in your motors. At the end of the day,
it is the life of the vehicle.
At the end of the day, it's cheap insurance.
Right.
And I've never seen a motor damage because you changed it too often.
No, that's physically impossible.
Right. So, you know, change oil, change it often. Change it when you're supposed to. Use the right stuff to do it, you know. So, and it, trust me, it will make your car last longer.
Yes, and you know, if I go to buy me a used car, I just hope and pray that whoever owned that car has got a record of it in his little diary, in the glove compartment, or he's got let me print out you a record of my maintenance and oil changes for my vehicle.
Right.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Yes, that's what I want. Because I know he's taking care of that equipment.
It's nice to be able to tell what's been done.
Hell yes.
But we do have another text message here, and they're talking about the hail that went through Gulf Shores and that, and all these cars that were damaged.
Damn it to hail!
One of the things, you know, talking about the glass that got beat out. You know, you got to remember that most of that storm come in from the Gulf, so there's probably some salt water in some of that that rain and the hail that come
right,
in.
Right.
So, you know, not only did you bust your windows out and sunroofs out and all that kind of stuff and got it wet in there, there may be some corrosion starting to happen too.
Well, it won't be too long. You can expect to see that within 30 to 45 days on some areas and some types of the metals that are in there.
Yep.
Especially something that is unpainted.
Oh, yeah.
Any kind of raw metal. Any raw steel that may be there. But then, hey, if they got aluminum components in it, aluminum corrodes too.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. All right, well, it's time for us to take a break and let you hear from our sponsors, and we will be back.
Straightening the curve, yeah. Flattening the hills. Someday the mountain might get them, but the law never will.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text. 343-0106. Did get another text message here about someone going back to the dealer to get their oil change done and realized they had overfilled it with oil. They had to take it back twice, I guess, to get the get it corrected. And their excuse was that the pump calibration was acting up. You know, and okay. And it happens. It happens.
Okay,
but
does it?
Is
that for real?
Well, the problem is they punch in what they're supposed to, or it has a readout saying how much is supposed to be put in there. You can't bank on that being right. I've seen it too many times be wrong. So it's close.
In other words, there might be some erroneous quart figures in the computer when it's passed down to that. Service.
Well, I've just seen it to where, okay, if it pulled a couple air bubbles in while it was pumping, you know, that reader may read fast or it may read slow. If the air pressure is a little down in the shop, maybe it doesn't read, it doesn't pump just right. You know, so that's, you know, I try, and I'm not going to sit here and tell anybody that they do it 100% of the time. But when you pump the oil in the car, you pull the dipstick on it after you crank it.
I was going to ask you if so, that was one of the requirements.
Right.
Yes. I'd like to know how much oil is in it.
You pump the oil in it, you crank it, you run it, and you shut it off, let it sit just a second, and check it. Pull the dipstick.
Pull
the dipstick. It'll tell you whether you're right or wrong.
And if you got two quarts of damn too much oil in there, it's going to tell you in a heartbeat. That is, here it goes again back to going to a dealership, to me, is you're going to less likely have that problem because the dealership is going to pay their oil change people as much as a lot of people make turning wrenches, okay? Mm-hmm. So their technicians are so much more qualified and all, naturally they're going to make the big money. But at the same time, to get the proper oil change people, they got to pay good. You don't even want to know what they're having to pay. Kevin told me the other day what they're having to pay to get oil change people. Mm-hmm. But the other factor that where I'm going with this is if you get somebody that does this every day, it's like that. It might be a lady writing that service up, but she's doing it every day. She's done it for 10 damn years. She knows what she's doing. And when something's out of order, they catch it. They go like, uh-oh, that ain't right. Let me check this. Guy that's doing that oil change, and he gets that thing down there, and it tells him to set it on 7. Mm-hmm. And he knows that car only holds 5 or 4 quarts.
Right.
Some of them, you know, only, 3 quarts now, 4?
No, they're usually 4 or better, you know.
Yeah, but and if they sold him 6 or 7, he'd, whoa, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
yeah.
just going to hit that little computer up there, you know, go, wait a minute, that ain't right. Because he's got the warranty, he's got to guarantee his work himself, too.
Right.
Because if he screws it up, they have a comeback, it's coming back to him.
Yeah, I mean, I've had mostly my new, because the oil change guys that have been there a while, they quit asking me how much oil car holds on particular models and stuff, Because for one thing, I don't do it every day, so I don't keep up with exactly how much oil each model and motor and everything holds. I was like, but on top of that, my answer is always, I don't know. When you fill it up and get it on the full mark on the stick, you'll know.
Right.
So
there you go. Yeah.
So I'd start by putting four in it and check it.
There you go.
I was going to
ask you that, because that's like old school.
Right.
You know, if we ever had any doubt, because you've got some Ford products. My Lincoln takes like 6 quarts, mm-hmm. you know. But, you know, if it said 6, then we're going to put 5 in it, see what it looks like.
Right.
And make sure that, you know, we didn't have a problem. So,
well, I mean,
you can always top it off, but I sure would hate to have to drain some of it out.
Well, you know, and if I have like a truck that I know takes 8 quarts of oil, I'm going to say, you know, put 8 quarts in it and check it.
Check it, right.
You know. But you're gonna check it when you get done.
Yeah. Yeah. Hell yeah.
And
that's part of the oil change job.
Yeah. And there's, I mean, and I just got a text message from one of our listeners that used to work with that mentioned Mercedes doesn't have a dipstick now, and there's a lot of cars that don't have a dipstick anymore. BMW has been that way for quite a while, but they do have a very sophisticated oil level system to where you can crank it up and it. It gives you an accurate oil level on the dash.
So it's got a reading on the dash.
Yeah, yeah.
They've got bells and whistles to make up for the lack of the dipstick.
Right. Well, I mean, it's not just an oil level, a low oil light that comes on. It's actually a accurate oil level system. So, you know, that's a little different deal.
But we got that text there from that guy. He says, thought that the women were working there so that the guys wouldn't swear so much. I don't know, man. I've seen some women. I was on several Marine Corps bases and what have you, and I saw some of them some of the guys I knew.
Right.
This day and time, baby, these ladies have changed some.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Not belittling anybody, but some of them have changed.
Yeah.
Potty mouth.
Is that a nice way of saying it? Potty mouth.
Yeah.
I'm going like, what the hell?
Yeah. Well, you know, we got to remind people all the time not to, but it happens. But,
it happens.
Yeah. But yeah, they the BMWs, like I say, they had a very sophisticated oil system that oil level system that actually would check it while it's running,
right,
and give you an accurate reading on it.
Tell you when you need to change oil too, don't it?
Well, it does, and most all your cars do now. But it's their systems actually they don't want you changing oil before 15,000 miles, which I totally disagree with. But you know, that's just me, and they have to monitor their oil level a lot closer than most vehicles, because I promise you acceptable oil use is anything less than a quart every 2,000 miles. If you go 15,000 miles between oil changes,
man, that's 7,
that's
quarts,
7 quarts of oil.
Woo!
So, and most of those hold like 9. So, I mean, you're not going to want to do that, you know? So, and there again, that's one of my reasons I don't like the extended oil changes and all that kind of stuff. People don't check them,
right.
You know. And you know, even in the BMW, you got to scroll through and go to that screen to look at it. You know, and most people are too busy looking at their, you know.
All right, I got a country bucket
radio
question
and that
for
kind
you.
Of stuff.
All this sophisticated stuff that we got on our dash now that supposedly enlightens us about when our oil needs to change. Isn't all of that controlled by the amount of miles and or the type of driving that you do rather than the quality of the oil, whether it's dirty or not?
Well, none of it is actually testing your oil for condition.
That's what I'm talking
about. Okay. It's all based on a computer algorithm based on the temperature and the drive cycles and you know, how far you've been and all the above. So
that being said, though, that drive cycle and the way you're driving in the area you're driving in will make the oil bad, though.
Right. Yeah, and of course it doesn't know whether you're driving down a dirt road or an asphalt road.
Right.
So you know it's taking a lot of things for granted. You know, so I don't really like that way myself, you know. And Michelle,
well, you know
just
what? They didn't ask us a damn thing about it. They didn't really care what we thought.
Exactly. And Michelle just sent a message here. Isn't it easier to have a dipstick rather than a computer telling you the oil level? Yes and no, because the thing is who opens the hood and pulls that dipstick?
Right.
Yeah. People don't do it. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What dipstick?
They may stand a better chance if they just have to push a button on the dash, you know. So anyway, but it happens. And I know we've just about run up to the end of our show tonight. Now I want to thank everybody for listening to the Car Doctor Show. This is the Car Doctor Kevin Ramacle along with Tom Claxton, and I will be back next week.
I hope that I'm here if the good Lord lets me here, you know. But to all of our veterans out there and our first responders, we appreciate your service. We appreciate your gift to this country. Hoorah! And now my starter won't start.
You know my motor won't even turn. You know my starter won't start this morning. You know my motor won't even turn. You know I've been running with a face class of women. You know they called my little car to run.